Welcome to the ANIS Network podcast series. ANIS stands for the European Network on International Student Mobility that aims to connect research and practice. Enjoy our podcast and get to know the latest news on international student mobility.
Hi everyone, welcome to our next podcast. My name is Anita Kiri, Assistant Professor at the University of Szeged, Faculty of Economics and Business Administration. Today, my guest or my colleague here in the podcast with me is Fatos Oskan Ercsinyás. Hi, Fatos.
Hi, Anita. Thank you so much for inviting me to the podcast.
Thank you so much for coming and also bringing an amazing topic with you. So Fatos is an assistant professor in marketing in Birmingham Business School, University of Birmingham, and she's recently been involved in the research of international student mobility as she's become member of the ANIS Cost Action Initiative. And today we are going to talk about international student mobility. And because we both come from a business background as teachers and researchers, we are going to focus on business schools and faculties and universities in our talks. So first of all, let's start our discussion with what do you think, Fatos? How has the international student mobility evolved over the past couple of years, especially in business schools where you also have some personal experience?
Thank you so much for this question, Anita. So I work in the UK, but I am from Turkey, and I moved to the UK as an international student myself to pursue my master's degree in 2014. And since then, I studied and worked in business schools in the UK. And before I moved to the UK, I was a student in a business school in Turkey. And also I worked as a research assistant there at some time. So I think I have some experience in business schools so far. In terms of how it changed over these years, how it evolved over these years, based on my observation, international student mobility has significantly increased over the years due to various factors, especially in the UK. UK was always a popular destination for international students, and it has a long history and legacy over hosting international students. But last 10 years was kind of significant in a sense to explain how numbers changed. So especially in business schools, numbers doubled, tripled themselves in last few years. There are different factors that led to this. Visa changes, introduction of new programs, and class sizes, there are many other factors, but as we agree, I will be giving some personal examples. So when I started my master's degree in the UK, my class size was 90. At the very same institution when I started working as a graduate teaching assistant, 2-3 years later, class size was around 150 to 200. And last year, we had over 300 students only in one of our programs. Wow. So these are the class sizes we are dealing with in the UK. In my current institution, in our marketing, main MSc marketing program, we have 275 students in one program, something around 50 on the other program, but the numbers even were higher. 1 year before, the program structure has changed, and there are some other, program level changes applied to control the numbers. Although this is great that we have really good number of students and we are attracting good students, but at the same time, as educators, it's not easy to deal with these high numbers in most of the cases, especially, you know, when you need to teach something practical, then mm-hmm. you need smaller class sizes. But this means that you need to repeat the same seminar, you know, multiple times, maybe 10 times. I remember when I was teaching quantitative research methods to our students, when I was a PhD student back in 2019, just before pandemic, I was repeating the same SPSS session 5 times. In the very same day, and it is quite intense in that sense. How about your personal experiences, Anita?
Well, thanks a lot, first of all, for sharing, because it's really nice to see how we can relate to each other, even though we come from different institutions and different backgrounds. As for Hungary, generally, internationalization of higher education is in its infancy still, especially at where I'm teaching and researching. And University of Szeged has had different programs that are more than 30 years old in terms of teaching in English and internationalization. But the Faculty of Economics and Business Administration has had its English language bachelor program open since 2016. So it's a very new program still, very new program, and we have seen a rapid growth in student numbers, international student numbers. So initially we started off with only a handful. We had around 10 to 12 international students in our very first year, the pilot year of our business administration and management program. And their numbers started growing rapidly. And it has to do with, I think, two different factors. One is positive word of mouth that we are very proud of. But the second is that we have some policy changes in education, and our government has managed to implement some scholarships, one very specifically important, the Stipendium Hungaricum Scholarship Program, which, if someone gets accepted to, pays for the whole education, living expenses, and even pocket money for some of the international students coming from different countries. So both of these have together contributed to the fact that our faculty now has our first year students at the same program, the very same program we started off with only a handful of students. Now we have around 40-50 people in one academic year only. So, and the numbers are, or could still rise. It is also an institutional decision that we do not want to grow the program itself to be even bigger, because we, at the same time, we have different other programs that we are trying to grow, whether it's a master program or a PhD. So there has been this rapid growth. And as you mentioned, there are lots of challenges with involving and including international students into your institution. We have faced, as a relatively young program, we have faced issues in terms of teaching quality, in terms of making sure we maintain the same quality as we do for our Hungarian domestic students, and at the same time try to keep not just the teaching quality, but also the content behind the teaching itself. So to convey the same material or very similar material, high quality material and knowledge to these international students as well. So we've had some barriers, but at the same time, our school or our university has benefited a lot, I think, from internationalization. And now, after a couple of years, even managed to get an EFMD accreditation for this program. And that's, of course, thanks to all the factors that I have just mentioned, all the hardships, plus all the advantages of having international students. And this kind of is like a cycle. So once you do it well, once you have a growing number of international students, it will also make you want to be even better or excel in what you are doing. So right now, this is where we are. This is how the situation is at our university and specifically at the Faculty of Economics and Business Administration.
Thank you so much. I didn't know anything about, you know, these scholarships and how things are working in Hungary. And it reminded me about Turkey scholarships. Turkey started, you know, having a very same approach. I think it was 10 years ago, in 2012, Turkey introduced a specific scholarship program for international students. And I think per year, they give scholarships up to 5,000 students. And these students are free to choose whichever university they want to study. Of course, this is not business school specific, but, you know, Turkey has a similar approach and they wanted to attract international audience, international students by using scholarships. In the UK, it is very rare that universities scholarships or government scholarship for master's degrees. For undergraduate, mostly students are local, but also there are international students as well. By the way, I forgot to tell before you start discussing about Hungary, majority of our MSc students are international. So last semester when I was teaching them, I can easily say that 90-95% of our master programs are having international student profile. So, and we don't, there are different types of programs. For example, we have executive MBA programs, which are more specifically designed for business professionals. But again, these programs are mostly attracting students from different countries. So at least at the University of Birmingham and at the University of Leicester, in my previous institution, majority of the students in master programs, they were international, and there were more local students in undergraduate programs. And depending on the specifics of the programs, some disciplines, they are having more local students, but disciplines like management, human resources, international business, marketing, we are attracting more international students.
Okay, I understand, and I think amazing that there is a growing number of international students because of that. Okay, what about the critique? If you could share any kind of points where you would critique international student mobility, do you think it's always a positive story for your own institution or for students in business? What do you think about this commercialization of higher education?
You know, this is a quite difficult question to answer because, you know, it's not all about, you know, positive story. You know, internationalization comes with, you know, advantages. You know, it has its own challenges in it as well. Of course, there are undoubtedly benefits to international students and also the country that they are visiting regarding to, you know, cultural exchange, having enhanced global understanding. But also there are challenges and potential drawbacks associated with this phenomenon. So first of all, international student mobility, it creates its own market, but it comes with a huge financial cost to many students. And these internationalization efforts are creating elite. And those elite, when they are going back to their countries, they are already coming with kind of privileged background, and international education added on top of this privileged background is creating elitism in some countries. So in some cases, those students are getting distant from the realities and the social problems of the country that they are coming from, but also at the same time, the, you know, awareness of the social issues happening mm-hmm. in the host country they are visiting in. So for that reason, at Birmingham, we have a mission of being a responsible business school, and we are integrating responsibility and sustainability element in all of our programs and also in our teaching. So in all of our modules, we are having case studies or lecture content that touches upon different types of sustainability challenges. It could be social, economic, environmental. So we are trying to teach them what our responsibilities to give back to the society as, you know, people who are studying business, because those students, majority of them, are going back to their countries after their graduation and they join the workforce there, and some of them are becoming managers at some point. They are mm-hmm. having managerial positions. So having the responsibility elements within the curriculum is quite important for us in that sense. And not all students are, you know, coming with privileged backgrounds, of course. Some students are moving to UK by getting loans and they need financial aid, or some of them, they need scholarships. And this is creating a huge burden for some students. So in that sense, it's great to see initiatives like in Hungary or Turkey to create scholarships for students who have less advantages in terms of going into international experience. I think Erasmus was great in that sense as well, because it was providing funding opportunities for students. Unfortunately, after Brexit, UK is out of Erasmus now, and our students cannot take this opportunity, or we can't have Erasmus students anymore. UK introduced another scheme, touring scheme, but the mm-hmm. scheme is not in, you know, it is in operation, but there are some issues needs to be clarified for having a full, you know, operation. So this is one of the challenges we are going through at the moment in terms of internationalization. The other matter that I was thinking around is the brain drain effect, especially on developing countries. I don't think that this is a very serious matter in business schools, but in certain degrees, especially in medical schools, this is a quite serious issue, because some of the students are moving abroad either for exchange programs or having their postdoctoral or postgraduate MSc level degrees, and then they are not going back to their countries. And so when talented students from developing countries choose to study abroad and then subsequently settle in their host country, in most of the cases in a developed country, this leads to a loss of skilled individuals in their home countries. And this kind of brain drain can hinder the development and progress of these developing countries as they lose their valuable human capital that could contribute to potential growth or introduce innovation or work in creative industries or work in advancements in relation to technology. So in that sense, although internationalization brings lots of value, but at the same time, it comes with the risk of brain drain from developing countries. What else? You asked me about commercialization of higher education, right? So, commercialization of higher education, this is, you know, another issue that I was thinking around. And especially in countries like UK, student fees are quite high. And as some of the students are paying those high fees, they see higher education as a financial gain. So they start seeing buying a luxury handbag is similar to studying in a prestigious university in the UK. But in that sense, the relationship between educator and student is not as the same as the relationship between a luxury brand and a consumer, because education is a mutual exchange. So you are giving the content to them, but at the same time, they should do their responsibility to take this knowledge and apply it and follow the instructions rather than consume education. So in that sense, the idea of consuming the educational provision seems quite problematic to me. And also, I haven't experienced this in my institutions, as we are following strict quality standards, and my university is triple accredited business school. So we are doing our best to assure the quality standards are followed and ensured. But however, in some institutions, they compromise on admission criteria, or, you know, they are accepting students who are not capable of having these degrees because the universities needs the, you know, these universities need the funding coming from international students. So because, you know, some degrees are not getting the attention from international students, but they need more funding. So the business schools are becoming the funders of these, you know, kind of less attractive disciplines, but requires further funding, especially the, you know, core disciplines like, you know, disciplines like sociology, or philosophy, or could be many other disciplines in social sciences. So, and for that reason, as the pressure is on business schools, they might need to accept really high numbers of students to be able to contribute to the departments who are struggling financially. And I do understand this as a logic from the perspective of the university, but the pressure on the business schools regarding to dealing with really high number of students, it's becoming quite an issue, and it's not easy to manage very big programs. In some cases, sizes are reaching up to 500 in some institutions. This is not the case in my own institution. We are keeping numbers as much as we can manage, but some of my PhD friends, they join different institutions, and I know that they are dealing with 500, 600 master's students in one program, and this is creating very huge, heavy workload on academics. And not only regarding to the management of high student numbers, but also, you know, the impact that we having on environments regarding to internationalization. I think it's also significant, right? Because all those students flying to different countries, of course, you know, it is part of globalization and it's normal, but at the same time, internationalization is contributing into, you know, higher carbon footprint associated with international travel for educational purposes as well. So this is another thing that I can add as part of my critique, I think. So these are the things that comes to my mind when you ask this question. There could be many other points to critique, by the way. So I would love to hear some from you as well.
Yes, yes. Thanks a lot. Well, my take on these questions is, first of all, coming from the Hungarian perspective, criticizing the student mobility, obviously, which I think is something very positive. So I only have one factor that I would put into this category that is an unnatural flow of students, because there are international students who pick one country or one university because it's really for them, they are in their favor, they know what they want to learn and where exactly. But if this motivation gets a little bit altered by a fact that one government is proposing a scholarship for you, and the scholarship gives you extra opportunities, good, but it also deters the student from their original plans, maybe. So it mightn't be a positive way to influence international student mobility, because originally it would have flown or it would have gone in a different way. But it's also nice to see how different scholarships and the availability of funding and policy changes affect where and how students go or international students go. And as for the marketing perspective and commercialization of higher education, as a person coming from the field of marketing, I think it's not necessarily something bad, but rather something positive, because as higher education institutions also have to take part in, and also apply marketing techniques, they can enhance their online, offline marketing capacities and capabilities so that they attract the best students they can at their fields. So for universities, it could be a new way of attracting international students. Research has been on regarding the what it's like to live web pages of universities, what it's like to live here, what it's like to study at our institution, at our university. So for sure, the web page content has an enormous influence on students' first choices when they choose higher education institutions. And other than the web page itself, once they get admitted, higher education marketing cannot stop, because universities want to retain their students. So this is when maybe social media can come into the play. So I think marketing has, higher education marketing specifically, has a huge role in international student mobility, because it essentially alters the flow, or it can essentially alter the flow of student mobility, which originally might have been in a different way than it was used to be. And it's, of course, a good way for smaller universities, because previously maybe smaller universities were not even on the radar of international students. But this way, similarly to small and medium-sized enterprises, I mean, universities are, in Hungary, are NGOs, non-governmental organizations, but receive state support. And at the same time, these NGOs and nonprofits, they usually rely on public funding, and therefore do not have a lot of either human capital or financial capital to support any marketing activities. But if they do, and if they do find funding for it, it can really make the difference, and it could also bring international students to their own faculties and schools. So I think, all in all, commercialization of higher education in one aspect is something that gives opportunities for even smaller universities to attract and retain international students, and higher education marketing can essentially change the way how international students and where international students go in general. Yeah, so This was my Hungarian perspective on the issue.
Thank you so much for giving me this, you know, insight. Maybe we should send some of our students from the UK to Hungary then.
Absolutely, good idea. And also thank you for sharing your ideas with me. And thank you everyone who joined in our conversation to have a little bit of comparison between the two countries and also our personal experiences in terms of international student mobility with a little bit of background from the field of business and business school. So thank you so much Fatosh for joining and sharing your ideas.
Thank you so much, Anita, for inviting. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you, and thanks so much for listening, and hope to see you, everyone, in our next podcast.
This podcast was powered by the European Union-founded Coast Association.